have an exciting end to a wonderful, wonderful week. We started with the Secretary of Education this week because he was so excited about coming up here to work with and hear from all of you. He asked if he could call in. He is out of town, but he asked if he could call in just to bring greetings again, review where we've been and his excitement about this week and what he thinks now he has to do as a major lead throughout the state for this upcoming year. So he'll be calling in shortly, and we can't wait to hear from him and look at the exciting program that we have for the rest of the morning. We have been so pleased and so happy with the turnout, with the speakers, with all of the results that we've had and the wonderful program that we saw yesterday. And I don't know if our MC Benjamin is in the room right now. If he would like to stand and be acknowledged, we would love that. But his dad is here, so maybe he can take the kudos for his son. Where is he? Mr. Bishop? There. Yes, take the thanks for your son yesterday.
Hello.
And Dr. Zahorchak, you are now on, and the group is waiting to hear from you. Thank you so much for wanting to be part of this and making sure we made arrangements for this.
Well, thank you very much, and thank all of you for what you've done all week. Your tireless and relentless energy certainly is evident, and the care you have, as I said just a couple of days ago with you, for young people is tremendously evident. By your attendance and participation this week. I want to, before closing my remarks, recognize a couple of folks, starting with Kathy Scudder. Is Kathy in the audience somewhere? Can she come up? You know, I'll tell you, I know the kind of work that Kathy does year-round, and I also know the kind of work she does to make sure this national conversation on autism is second to none. Kathy, you deserve such applause from me, from all of those around the state and around the country for your efforts. They are not unrecognized. They're terrific. And just, I'll take a chance here. Those of you who have been asked for this conference by Kathy personally along the way during the past many months, or yesterday or just this morning, to do something or to lend your shoulder to her efforts to make sure this comes off for everybody without a glitch, can you stand? And those members of Kathy's team from Catan or the Department of Education or the intermediate units, would you stand? Look at the number of people Kathy has built as a key. And let's applaud all of them. This has been, and thank you very much, Kathy. My heart is with yours. This has been the largest opening day ever session. 11 different content tracks, Autism 101, 300 people participated. All sessions for the week were webcast and will be archived on a special website, searchable by topic. I think that's worth repeating. The webcast will be done of all the sessions for the week. You'll be able to plug in a topic if you remember a key word, phrase, and that topic will take you to the places during the week that keyword phrase was used. And I think that's, once again, illustrative of the kind of administration behind the scenes to make sure this conference was second to none. The only conference with 100 children and siblings in the week-long Children's Institute, and for all of you who participated, it will have worked. And for those kids, thanks for being there. 500 family members. Parents commented throughout the week, and I've been monitoring every day, getting feedback, knowing what's happening, knowing that the comments from parents on the knowledge and practical skills they have learned this week were terrific. One of the presenters, Peter Gerhardt, he said, this is the best autism conference in the country, and I think his words will ring true over and over again for many who have participated. And I'll bet you, as so many have predicted, we need to think about the venue and how large of a place can we have. And if we're talking about Penn State maybe being too small, there's probably no other place. We're ending this conference with a wonderful young adult who's starting his junior year on the main PSU, Penn State University campus, this year. So he'll start his junior year at Penn State this year, Joey Gans. And Joey, please make sure when you share with the participants what the educational programs need to do to make sure that all students are as successful as you are. I'm going to be monitoring, listening to your session, and I'd ask the Patan staff also to make sure that we follow up reviewing your words, Joey. We're proud of you. We're proud of all of you. Thanks, all students. Thanks for the teachers and paraprofessionals and parents and friends and grandparents. Teaching matters at every level from all of us. I'm proud of all of you. God bless. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And thank you, and the secretary has been monitoring and has a meeting scheduled for next week to make sure that we follow up on what has been identified as very important here, because he's looking and recognizing how important our education professionals are to the lives of all the students and what we need to do. It is with great pleasure that I get to introduce Joey. I asked to do this because I had the honor of meeting Joey and hearing him for the first time at Geisinger Medical Center up in Wilkes-Barre, where there was an opening and an award of over $1 million from Senator Spector to Geisinger and SAFE to provide additional support services in the northeastern PA area to families with autism. Joey was the speaker. Was anybody else there that day in the audience here? We have a couple people, and he was just wonderful. And I got to meet his mom and dad, and I'm going to ask them to stand up because they are so critical, as you know, parents, what our children do. We really like to enjoy and are so proud of what they've done. So, Pat and Joe, can you please stand up and be recognized? We're very fortunate to have 26 states with us and also participants from Ireland, Israel, and New Zealand. And we hope you'll come back again next year, where we love that Pennsylvania is able to do this because of the leadership that we have here in the state. At the end of this session, there is going to be a statewide advocacy group meeting in 107 at noon. So people that are interested in a statewide advocacy group, a lot of you parents that are part of other autism support groups in the area, please feel free to go to 107 at noon. Joey, as the secretary said, Joey starts his junior year here. He was for 2 years at Penn State Hazleton. Yes, he's from the northeastern part of the state, my home area. Love it. Very successful at Penn State Hazleton. He is on the dean's list. He's continued to excel in his studies. And he had a mom and dad that were looking back a number of years ago. Joey's 12. They were flying in Lovas from UCLA to come in and work and assist them and at their home to continue and develop the program. Joey happened to be nonverbal at the time at 4 and 5. You'll never know that now when you hear him today. He's going to major in agricultural sciences here. He's going to be living in a fraternity house. He loves fishing, hiking, sports, loves working with animals, enjoys meeting young ladies. So he likes a nice social life up here. So anyone else that is in this area, he likes social activities and he looks forward to invitations to the social events of the area. So please make sure that if you're in this area, you help him with some social events. I am matchmaking again. I love that job best of all. When Joey was asked, what does he think his greatest success has been? And as a typical teenager, what do you think it is? Driving, the day he got his driver's license. That's what he loved, and what he's going to share with us is some other things that he's learned and what he hopes to do in the future to help everyone. Joey, it's so wonderful to have you here. Will you come forward now, please?
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, parents and educators. I am Joey Gantz, a 20-year-old student attending this campus. I am autistic, and I believe that autistic people can become as normal as you are sitting in this room. I'm sure you know what autism means, so I will explain to you what it feels like to be autistic and how I am defeating autism. As you know, parents and educators, autism is a childhood disease. I was diagnosed with autism at the age of 5, and back then the only clues doctors had were lack of speech and bad behavior. Since 1988, diagnosis tools have been made more available to doctors, and children are being diagnosed earlier now. I am going to share my beliefs and experience with all of you today and hope you walk away with a better understanding of this disability. When I was in first through third grade, my behavior was bad. I bit, screamed, ripped glasses off my teacher's faces, and ran away several times. I had very little speech. Maybe I had 50 words. I had to go to speech therapy 10 times a week, and one day I flew to Pittsburgh for special speech classes. I also did an applied behavior therapy called LOVOS, which was taught every day for 8 hours without interruption. I had to be taught every word you hear me saying to you today. I still have problems with what people are saying to me. Just for example, last year I thought my writing tutorial class was a class that helped me in tutoring. And since I felt I didn't need tutoring, I did not go to class. And needless to say, I failed the class. This is an example of my understanding words and what I think words mean as being autistic. Now, just to give you an idea about how much medical therapy is needed to fight this disease and become a student on this campus, I will share with you some of my therapies. I flew to the University of California for 32 months for an unapproved therapy with a world-known immunologist known as Dr. Gupta. I received gamma globulin treatments, which is a blood protein infusion that lasts several hours. This was a big help with my immune system and my speech. I began speaking and understanding words after my first treatment. I also did auditory integration and social therapy for several years, and this helped me understand social and public rules and facial expressions. These types of things are very difficult for an autistic person. Then came high school, my friends who I called the Fabulous Five. They helped me stay on track and protected me. I attended accelerated classes with them, and then I became obsessed with my grades. Another big part of being autistic. The obsession made me sick and very nervous. I also had problems taking notes, since I have to repeat to myself every word that is being said to me in order to understand it. It is like writing it twice before you get the point. As for the greatest accomplishments in high school, it was getting my driver's license and being accepted at Penn State Hazleton. Tests are hard for any autistic person, especially essay tests. I know the material. I just cannot transfer the information fast enough. Now, what it is like to be in college. Well, for me and other people like me, the transition change was hard. I lost my Fab Five Friends backup system and the consistency of regular routine. And this is very difficult for anyone, and especially autistic people. This year, I will be joining my brothers at the Tau Phi Delta fraternity house on this campus. I will study agricultural sciences. Parents and educators, you must realize you were gifted these children with autism. You must peruse their obsessions and help them turn their obsessions into a career. My obsession with animals has led me towards a career in agricultural sciences. It is your responsibility to turn stemming into a career for your child. Take the rewinding on the videotape, and I am sure all of you think it is stemming. But I was learning when I was rewinding my tapes, I must tell you, I was learning not stemming. I hope that I left you with a little better understanding on what life is as an autistic person and how hard it is to be like you. What comes naturally for you, like speech, jokes, and social skills, I have to work very hard at. I'm sure my parents can help with any questions you may have, and remember it. It is your job to find the answers and to give the gift of success and opportunity to your child so they can succeed in life. It is your job to deed this gift of life to your child. Thank you. If you have any questions, I will be willing to answer them.
Hi, I'm very happy to be here. This is my second time coming. I'm from New York, Long Island, New York, and it was well worth the trip. I just got off the phone this morning with my own daughter, who's on the spectrum. She's 19 and a half, attends a community college program, and she didn't want to go to driving this morning, and she was very upset, and I just wanted to ask you, she's very good at it. She's getting adaptive driving instruction from what in New York we call VESID, and I wanted to know, did you have to go for special driving instructions? How long it took you?
Yes, I had to take driving lessons from George Curry at Berwick High School. It took me like 5 months to get my license. Every time I went driving with him, he would show me where to turn and how to stop, look for traffic. And that's how I succeeded in life.
It took a while. It took some time to get a driver's license.
Can I ask?
And the transfer from the computer onto paper is a very difficult transition for them. So he found the driving center that would administer the test on paper only. So that's something you might want to look at.
He didn't have to do the actual road test?
Oh, he had to do the road test, yes. But I'm talking about the written exam. That's where he had his problem.
Okay.
Transferring from the computer onto the paper. Because when he knew the answer by the time he colored it in on the paper, you know, the transition was a little difficult for him at first.
But in terms of the actual driving, did you find that anxiety was a problem?
No, I was not nervous at all. When I took the online test a couple times, I failed because I wasn't taking my time. But then when I took the test over in Berwick, there were like 3 multiple choice questions, and I had to read each of the questions carefully and listen to what they were asking me.
I don't understand
what you were asking.
When you were in the car and you were getting your instructions, do you have your license?
No, I did not.
Oh, you don't. I see. Okay, thank you.
She knows what you were nervous driving. Okay. As you're driving now, are you nervous?
No, I'm not nervous.
Thank you for inspiring those of us with younger children, and it certainly looks as if you had some incredibly supportive parents along the way. My question for you is, and parents, you might want to close your ears, but I'd like to know what you wish that your parents had done more of or less of for you.
You don't want them to answer that.
What we should have done.
Well, what we should have done was get to the point that they were trying to help me get through high school. You see, like I said, I had to attend accelerated classes with my friends, and they helped me stay on track. And I had a hard time listening to the teachers, and my aide had to give my mom support. She would give for her examples on how I should succeed, because some of the classes were really hard, and I was giving myself a hard time with them. But then I learned that thinking is more important. I remembered from what I learned. That is called cognitive theory. And
what didn't you like what Mom and Dad did?
What I didn't like for what Mom and Dad did was getting grounded. That was one of my worst fears. Yes, getting grounded is like a punishment for doing something bad as a teenager and a child. You know, your parents tell you what you did wrong, so then they say that you're grounded for a week or till next month until you learn. And if you learn, you will be able to succeed and do what you want to do in life.
What did you call
me? I used to call everyone a witch. And that's how I used to hate people. And, no, and you mean that is the way it is. You know, you have to discipline your children in order to tell them what they did wrong. And then, right after they learn, they will do what they want to do in life. That is the way it goes. So, to help your children with their disabilities, you can take them to speech therapy, you can get them aids in school, or you can go over things with them a little more. Help your children.
Okay. There's somebody up there as well.
Good morning. I just want to thank you for coming and speaking today, because it was really, really helpful for an educator like myself. But you mentioned that you used to, we thought that you were stimming when you were looking at videotapes, but you mentioned that you were learning. And I was wondering if you could elaborate a little bit on that, because I often mistake a lot of my students who I think are stimming might very well be learning. So what is it that you were learning?
Well, I was learned that by rewinding the videotapes, I would learn how to sing songs over again and dance along to the music. That is how I accomplished. And if I'm done watching a movie, I can rewind it. Then I have time, might want to watch it again or do this and that.
But you might, she's asking you, did you use it as speech, as part of your speech?
No, I didn't use that for my speech. I only did it as an activity in order for me to learn the sequence of rewinding.
But you took some of those words.
Thank you.
You are welcome.
Good morning. My question is, you mentioned that when you were younger, you had behavior issues. There was a lot of things that you did in school that you remember that you did. Do you recall why you behaved in that way sometimes? Were there things that we can do as educators that we can do differently?
Yes. I used to pull my teacher Marie Falvello's hair when I was in kindergarten, and I acted really crazy, and she sent me to the principal's office twice.
Why did you do it?
The reason why I wanted to do it, because I wanted to show disrespect to people. And I wanted to get my own way of what I wanted to do in life. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that was bad behavior. I wanted to hurt people, and that was the wrong thing. But now that I'm older, I can see that that is inappropriate behavior. People should not bite, choke, or rip glasses off teachers' faces. If you had a brother or a sister who is autistic, please help her with that. He or she has to learn how to stop doing things like that.
What helped you learn that?
Well, I had to go to speech therapy 10 times a week, and I had to learn the basic rules on how I should not do anything wrong. I was explained to my therapist why it is the wrong thing to do. Because, you have to think about it and think about what you're not going to do next time, and just give it a little practice.
Thank you.
You are welcome.
Hello. Hi, I'm an occupational therapist. Did you ever have occupational therapy?
No, I haven't.
Okay. What if you get anxious or upset right now, what do you do to help calm yourself?
Well, I relax and I think about the future. Every time I think about something in my head, I'd say I put the past behind me, because I will always forget about the bad things that I have done. And
she's asking you how you relax. How do you, when you're upset, what do you do now to relax?
I understand. Well, in order for me to relax, I have to think about what I have to do. Say, for example, if I was playing a video game I'm taking my time, but I'm mad because I keep making mistakes like everyone else does. And when I take my time, I take deep breaths and I think about what I should do in order to win the game. And that is how I learn. I'm not angry and I'm not frustrated or anything. It's just taking my time in order to do those things. So if you're like nervous or upset about something, don't even worry about it. You can do what is right.
Thank you. The question maybe for Mom, did things like deep pressure, swinging, any of those activities seem to help?
It depends on the ages. Like when he was younger, he couldn't sleep. He slept like 2 hours and 20 minutes. And, you know, that's all he would sleep. And Joe's never been on medicine. He was, on medicine for about 6 months, an Afrinil, and then we took him off because it was just making him more aggressive.
Okay.
So Temple Grandin's idea was to put him in a sleeping bag and tuck those sheets real tight so that, you know, there was comfort and he was able to be in one position. So he did a lot of that himself. He knew what his disabilities were and he was able to overcome them by, you know, things we noticed, deep breaths. We would say, breathe or take deep breaths for 10 times and that would relax him. Or, Joey, you're getting upset. Go do something else and come back and do it. It took, you know, that's now. But when he was younger, it was a challenge like everybody else is going through right now with their children. It's there's a lot of things you can do to calm them down, but it depends on the child. Like sleeping, for us, was our biggest hassle, I think, because we never got any rest, and he never got any rest. And that's what we did. We put him in a sleeping bag. We tucked the sheets so he was tight, you know, calming sensation, and he was able to sleep after that.
Thank you.
That might help.
Hi, I've got a question both for Mom and for you. You mentioned IV therapy. Mm-hmm. How old was he at the time? And for you, how did you handle that?
Well, when I used to have IV therapy over in California, I used to scream when they give me Nebel because I hated them. They were a child's worst fear. But once you get older, you will notice that you need to relax, and it's only a little pick. So what I felt was it helped me relax, and it helped me think about what I like, and it really helped me learn how to succeed.
How old?
I was 7 years old. No, I was 7 years old when I went to California.
He was 7 years old. And it was a struggle. The first couple IgG therapies were a struggle because they don't like needles. We had videotapes. Dr. Gupta had a nice setup in California for us. And there were several children. Cindy Goldenberg's son was doing it. Ivor Porsche's son was doing it. And I think we had a few more. Oh, Dr. Shoemaker's son as well. So we had quite a few of us initially starting that. And it was traumatic. It took 13 people, or Ian?
No, four.
To hold him down just to get to get started. But once they realized it helped them.
The second time that Ian went for an infusion, he actually put his hand out to the physician, to the needle. He didn't have to hold him down. That was just a second infusion. So they knew it helped. Obviously, they knew it helped. Thank you.
They all helped us with good support, and I'm very proud of what they did to help me.
Great. Thank you.
Joe, I want to first congratulate you on your choice of university. This is a Penn State alumni. I think it was an excellent choice. And my question is, you said by coming here you're leaving your fabulous five friends. What made you pick Penn State?
Well, the reason why I picked Penn State because when I was little, I thought it was interesting to me. And when I was 7 years old, I used to go to the Hazleton campus for Cub Scout camp. You know, we would shoot BB guns, shoot bow and arrows, and we would do activities and stuff like that. And I thought Penn State was a lot of fun. That is why I chose that campus. Every time I I like to go to that campus. I go to the football games, and they're exciting to see the students roaring like thunder. You want to cheer for your own team. And if you ever want to shout for your team, you say, "We are!" You got it.
A question about your classes in college. What types of supports have you had in college in order to get through those subject areas?
Well, I had note takers, I had extended time on tests, and I had advisors. They all helped me stay on track with my schedule, so I will know when I'm going to take the test. Every time I talk to my advisor at the Hazleton campus, she asked me when I would like to take the test. And I would say that I want to take it on Wednesday at 3 o'clock right after class. And that is how I thought about organizing my schedule. You know, you want to make sure you pick an extended time and you will be able to get the test finished. And that is what helped me get through college.
Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my question and the time with us. I appreciate your time very much. Most of us in the room, you and I had some time to speak before today, and I want to thank you for that one-on-one time. I really appreciate you. I'm 43 years old, and I have Asperger's syndrome. I've been married for almost 18 years. I have 4 children. I have a 13-year-old, also on the spectrum. I have 2 questions, one for you, Joe Jr., and I have 1 question for your father. My first question to you: if my 13-year-old Benjamin was standing here, what advice would you give him today? He is a lot like you, well, used to be. The things that you have said this morning are a lot like my Benjamin. So with that said, if he was standing here, what would you tell him? Because after you're done here in a few days, I'm going to bring this up and on the computer, and he is going to see your response. So, as if
I will tell this kid that you should learn what it is like to be himself and what he should do to succeed. You see, your son has to go to therapy 10 times a week, and if he goes to therapy, he will learn about it a little more and think about what is right from wrong. And your child has to go to school in order to learn everything from his teacher, you know, math, science, social studies, English. They're good subjects for children in elementary school. Those teachers have great education, and they will help them learn how to sing songs, help them learn about history and stuff like that. Your child will learn and become a better person. That is how you should treat your children. He will become successful in life.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time. You are a fantastic example of where I want my son to be in 7 years, sir. You are.
You are welcome.
As you and I spoke earlier, if I may take just 15 seconds or 30 seconds, I did not have the opportunities that you have. And I wish that I did, but I didn't. and you have these opportunities and you're taking advantage of them. Now to your father, if I could please. Knowing what you know now, sir, going down the road 20 years, going through the sleepless nights like I have, going through everything, and it sounds like I said the road is very similar. The only difference that you and I may have is I have three other children, and that's fine. But knowing what you know, what advice would you give my wife and I on what I need to do in the next 6 or 7 years to get my Benjamin where your Joseph is today?
Just support.
I'm sorry?
More support. The biggest challenge I think that any parent faces with an autistic child is supporting them properly and understanding their ability to comprehend. Joseph had the ability to drive when he was 6 or 7 years old. Okay, to achieve the ability was not easily had by him. We gave him the support. You know, he had various training aids. We gave him as much support as we could humanly find. I think that most children need the recognition that they've achieved that. Although you may not see it directly, they may not look right at you, but they're paying attention. They may look to the left or to the right, but they're listening to what you're saying. They're watching every move you make. They're very, very comprehensive of that. They understand what you feel, whether you even speak the words. The hardest thing for an autistic parent is to understand that. And I felt bad when we would talk about Joey's disabilities and he's sitting in the room, especially with physicians. There seemed to be no care there. There's no feeling. And that, to me, that hurt. And also hurt Joey. And it hurts other autistic children as well. You need to understand that they feel. I mean, they may not be able to tell you that, but they can feel it. And what we found out with Joey and his five friends, who the Fabulous Five, as he mentioned, the mentorship that they provided for him was just phenomenal. They would go out and achieve things. Okay, we built a forest campsite, a place for them to go. They built it by themselves. I helped. Joey worked with the other boys, learning how to put screws in and nails, building water systems and showers and all kinds of things. But to give them the ability, to give them the challenge and the recognition after they've achieved. They make mistakes, which we all do, so we fix the mistakes. They had a little John Deere Gator. That was like a Humvee to them when they were first grade. So we put it in it. They were driving around the driveway. They said, Mr. Gans, could we go out to the driveway and down on the farm a little? Sure. First thing they do, they go down and they hit a tree. So they come back. I said, they're crying. I said, you guys okay? Yep. And they said, what should we do? I said, go down in a gator, back it up, and keep going. You know, that's what they did. So as they stumble, you pick them up. And you help them achieve, you help them go forward. I think the biggest advice that I could give you in the next 7 years with your son is just to help him achieve. Give him the support that he needs. Give him the support and give him the ability. In other words, if he wants to go to college, you help him achieve that. And if you have to go out and find resources to do it, there's plenty out there. Okay, use the peer group, use your family support, talk to people within this room that have autistic children. Find out what they did that helped them move forward. That's what you need to do. It's not difficult, you know, but it is challenging because the unknown. It's difficult to communicate. It's very difficult to communicate. My son is a great example of how hard work can produce a young individual that's going to go forward in life. Now, Joey may have time, at times hard. It may be hard for him to understand the questions that you ask of him. But he's telling you in his own words how he feels about it and how he copes with it. But it's the ability that we all have to give to train and to teach these children. Just give them the chance. They all deserve that chance to go forward.
Thank you, sir.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, there she is. My question is, when you were in elementary and high school, how much time did you spend in a special education classroom versus a regular education classroom?
Well, when I was in kindergarten and first grade, I had to go see Marie Favell in order me to learn new things. That helped me get extended time in between my classes.
But that was your special ed class.
Yes. Every time I didn't understand every word my teacher was saying, my aides would ask me questions and I would answer them. That's how I learned.
But that's not what she's asking. How many years were you in special ed?
Oh, I'm sorry. I did not understand what you were asking.
2 years in special ed, and then you went to a regular classroom.
I was in 2 years in special ed, then I went to another classroom.
He was 2 years in kindergarten. We went to two kindergartens. We went to two kindergarten schools. Finally landed up in the public school system. And then first grade he was in special ed. And then we mainstreamed him in second grade. We really had a battle.
I was going to say, did you have to push hard?
Well, we pushed hard, but they were very understanding in our school district. They allowed him to stay in class. And I tell everybody in the education department that if you have a child that you feel should be mainstream or in a mainstream class, they want to sit them up front. Well, you don't put them up front. They learn from being behind the last seat in the classroom. They learn from their peers being in front to raise their hand. Joe didn't know how to raise his hand. You know, and it's that time. And if you can't get them in a regular classroom, say, give me 30 days in a regular classroom. Give me the chance to put him in there or her in a regular classroom and see where you can go with that. Always ask for 30 days of the school district's time to prove your point, whether it's in a classroom. They said he'd never do math. He's done chemistry. You know? They would not. And the man's friends of ours now, he says, I don't want him in my classroom. I just don't, you know, he'll never do the math, Pat. I said, give me 30 days. He had an A.
Thank you so much. Let's try this again. My son is going into kindergarten, and I was just wondering if you ever had to deal with bullies. I'm really worried that he might get picked on, and I want to be able to protect him and help him through that.
Well, he needs to be with a group of friends so they will help him know who are his friends and who's making fun of him. You know, if people are making fun of him, they shouldn't be with them. You know, they call them nasty names, they beat them up. You need to stay away from those people. He has to learn the basics of life, and his friends can help him with anything that's bothering him. You see, when I had bullies in high school, I had to stay with my friends, and they helped me explain why they were making fun of me in the cafeteria. And when I was in the cafeteria, I was singing a song to them. They start laughing. I walk back and Mitchell says, they're trying to make a fool out of you. And I said that they're my friends because I thought they wanted to hear something funny. And Mitchell goes, they're not your friends. So I decided not to talk to them anymore.
It's a core group of friends. You have to develop that core group like we did. We had four boys that stayed with Joey from basically preschool. When he was in preschool, he went 2 days a week and he found one friend, and we built from that friendship onto four more boys. It's a very difficult thing, especially if you have other siblings in the house. But you have to bring them in your life. You have to make them become part of your family because that protects them in school. You know, they've done a lot for Joey. He dealt with the boys more than I did. He, you know, we always had, whether it was movie night or come watch a movie, and their parents were very, in the beginning, very difficult. They didn't want to be associated with Joey, but it took time. It took a lot of time and effort, but that's your main success point, is having a good group of friends with them, whether it's two people, one person, somebody they can relate to and protect them, and ask the school district to put them in a class with them. Like, we had four, so we were lucky. You know, Joey had a class with everybody. Everybody knew Joey. So it helps them.
Thank
Homework
you.
Buddies, whatever. Going into kindergarten is tough.
for everybody.
Thank you so much.
I'd like to know what you plan on doing after you graduate from Penn State.
Well, I don't know what I want to do in the future yet. It's just that I have time to think about it. You know, I'm in college, and I have to do what is more important. You know what? I need to keep up with my schoolwork before I graduate. And right after I graduate, it's time for me to decide what I would like to do. Maybe go into forestry, maybe go into farming, maybe go into wildlife, fisheries. There are types of careers that I must choose. You know, I'm involved with agricultural sciences, and the reason why I've chosen that major is because I want to do work on land, like plant crops or feed the animals and protect the environment, all that stuff.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're good.
I want to ask Joey one last question.
Oh, George.
Joey, you're going to be on your own now, right?
Right.
You're going to be in college.
Be nice, George.
If something goes wrong, are you going to be grounded?
No, I'm too old to be grounded. I'm 20 years old.
The session code is END 1971. END 1971 is the session code. Thank you very much. Thank you for all of our patent people who are just fantastic. And parents and kids, Joey, one more time. Thank you, dear. You were wonderful. Inspirational.